Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
But there is a guy that I invited to St. Charles River Church. I've told you the story many times of Charlie Pickett and the stories of Charlie Pickett. And, you know, Rex always jokingly talks about the man, the myth, the legend. You know, Charlie knows all about that phrase that we hear from Rex. This guy is the man, the myth, and the legend. He truly is in all of our lives that know Charlie. If you know Charlie, you love Charlie. You really do. If you know Charlie, you love Charlie. When Charlie gave his life to Jesus Christ, this guy was one of the most colorful guys I've ever met in my life. He brought life to every room he walked in. He brought vibrancy and charisma to every room and energy to every room he walked in. When he gave his life to Jesus Christ, he brought that same everything, that package of who Charlie is, he brought it into the kingdom. When Charlie first went to Bible college, Charlie called me. He was on his way to Bible college. He's on his way to Waxahachie, Texas. And I was cutting hair that day, and he told me he was heading to Bible college. I think he'd just given his life to Jesus Christ. God was really doing a work in his life, and he goes to Bible college, and he survived it. He called me when he got inside the gates. He said, "Pastor, I don't know if I can do this." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "There's a big sign over the gates. It says holiness 24/7. I don't think I can be that good." I said, "Charlie, just don't say a word when you get there. Just don't say a word. Don't open your mouth. Let the other people with loud mouths get all the attention. Don't." I don't know if you remember that advice, but I said, "Don't say anything when you get there. Just go and learn." And this guy then became, he went to Louisiana, actually led one of the largest, if not the largest, youth ministry in all of the state of Louisiana. This guy, I mean, he could reach young people. Charlie could reach young people. He was part of the youth group at First Assembly years and years ago. Actually reminded me of my first time I spoke at the youth group at First Assembly of God. And it was painful memories. Pain. Yeah, thanks a lot, Charlie. I appreciate that. This guy brings so much energy in my life. I love this guy dearly. And I'm not kidding. If you know Charlie, you're going to love Charlie. Would you welcome one of my most precious friends to this platform in all of my years, Charlie Pickett, pastor in Gainesville, Texas.
Am I on? My wife's not with me, so hey, I'm on now. So your pastor is incredible. How many of y'all know that? This is high, man. No, I'm okay. They may not want me down there. But if you don't want me to chase rabbits, I got to stick with this. My wife said, "Whatever you do, take your iPad." I said, "Okay." And I got the big one. Yeah, my font goes up. And I brought my wrong glasses, too. So we were having problems trying to get it charged, and I said, I've got to get it charged, or I'll have to go buy a new one or whatever, because I have to stick with this. But your pastor was actually the one, they going to do the 10-minute countdown? Okay. It was either that or he was going to shock me. So Barry, Pastor Barry, is a dear friend to me. You know, after 20 years, he finally asked me to come preach. But he was one of the few people, and when I say this, I mean this, that really believed in me. And I remember I came out of a lifestyle of sin, and when I first hit St. Charles Assembly, like, if you were a religious folk, you You didn't like me at all. As a matter of fact, my first float trip, I think I said a few bad words and made a few people mad. They threw a smoke bomb in my tent, and Tim Cunha was next to me, and he was like, please don't say nothing. I was like, man, I can't help it. And I couldn't understand why no one talked to me the rest of the way. But Pastor Barry, he actually wrote my pastoral reference letter to Southwestern Assemblies of God University. And so he's the reason I got in. And he so believed in me. I mean, and so when we would come back, I would come to his house and his family, and I would always try to keep up with him. And man, I love your pastor so much. I actually, we gave these things out to our volunteers. Our church is called Real Life Church. When I went to Texas, I said, you know what? I'm not Stephen Furtick. I'm not Barry Ivey. I'm not Joel Osteen for sure. I can't smile that long. And I said, I'm not this. I said, I'm going to be Charlie Pickett and everything God created me to be. And if people can't handle that, I'm okay with that. And so that's where I was at. And so after a revelation of our church was running about 60 people. And we kind of decided, we said, hey, you know, let's just go for this thing. Let's repaint everything. Let's do this. Let's do that. And so we called ourselves Real Life Church. And so now we run about 500 people. That's all God. That's not me. And so we're getting ready to build a bigger facility. We're excited, the momentum and everything. And so, it's a great time. But I wrote something in this, Barry, and my handwriting's horrible and I will misspell words. My nephew's here actually, and he goes to SLU and he got a 35 on his ACTs. So I bragged to everybody about that. 36 is the best you can get. So he's got Harvard, Yale, all these places knocking his door down. He's going to come and see me at Texas Christian University. But at the end of the day, so my kids say, well, what did you get, Daddy? And I said, well, what do I tell people or what I really get? I have a little bit of that Costanza in me that I kind of say, well, I tell people I got a 27. Why you tell them 27? I said, it just sounds better than 22. They said, well, you're lying. I said, I know. I asked for forgiveness. But anyways, I said, Barry and Gina, they mean everything to me. Really the ones that really believed in me when I went off and I tried this ministry, and no one has ever loved me more, I don't know, in my life personally. And if you have a problem with Pastor Barry, then you may want to look in the mirror, because he's one of the most genuine, loving, great guys I know. Truly a blessing. And so I remember you telling me, I remember you and Gina in my heart. I said, y'all encourage me to follow my dreams. The only pastor to write a recommendation for me that would. I don't know if he signed his name or not, but love you all so much. And I didn't have enough time to write everything I wanted to say, but I want to give this to you just because I love you. It's nothing much, but it's what is inside that you can start. And let me tell you something. It may be hard to read because my handwriting's not good. A lot of my friends are here today. Jay Johnson, friend I hang out with in high school, and his Amy, beautiful family. Thank you for coming out. Also, Mike Callahan. I'm just glad to have him. My sister's here and her family, Chad and Gracie, Ella, and Grant, the smart one I was telling you about. And he's going to graduate the youngest in his class. And so I'm just proud of him. And just thank everyone for showing up. And one more thing real quick. I know we're on a time schedule here or whatever we have, but I want to say thank you so much. Sherry Songer actually has been incredible in my life. And at times she's been a second mom to me, even though she's not old enough. She literally would spend time with me like no one else. And I credit, you know, my success in the things of Jesus. It's not about me, and I'm not here to be arrogant or anything. I hope I don't come off that way. But I credit so much to them because they were really the pillars of my faith, and it meant so much to me. Of course, my mom's not here. My mom was incredible. She was a person that, you know, she's still alive, but I love her to death, and she spoke so much into my life, did so much for me, always believed in me, and so that was a great thing. She's actually, it's funny, she's in an Assembly of God church this morning. She's not AG. She's Baptist. And I said, okay, they put the snakes up. And so anyways, Barry was worried I was going to be a little bit too churchy. And I'm like, bro, I'm going to have to calm it down just to be able to not make your people mad. Like, I don't want to offend nobody because, I have to have a whole team of doctors working around the clock on me just so they can filter through what I'm going to say and what's going to come out. So I'll be an equal opportunity offender, and I don't want anybody to take it the wrong way or anything else. I love Jesus. I love Jesus, man. I really do. When I graduated Bible college, I thought I was a theologian, and I realized how much of an educated dummy I really was. And how much I didn't know. And so, God has made this thing, so clear to me, the vision He has put in my heart and, the vision that He has led me to. And so we're very, very thankful, for all that. So I just want to thank everybody. My sister and them coming out means a huge deal to me. Usually when I come to town, I just stay with her because it's easy. They got a big house right off 141. And I haven't been to St. Peter's, St. Charles, Old Fylen area in so long. Everything's growing up. And it took me like four extra times to get here because there was a one way and I couldn't figure it out. Finally, Barry said, you know, over by Quick Trip and this and that. And I'd forgotten. And I'm horrible with directions anyways. I really am. I got a wonderful family. My wife, Nikki, she hit a home run when she married me. And so, just kidding. Actually, I outpunted my coverage real big time. She is an awesome, awesome lady. She runs our daycare at the church, was a teacher for years, now runs that. We have over 150 kids that go to our daycare, and we have over 100 people waiting to come into our daycare. It's very profitable, and it's very good, and that's all because of her hard work. She's also our children's pastor, and so she couldn't come. She wanted to, but she couldn't. One of us had to stay behind. And then also my kids, they all wish they could be here too. Carson is in 13. He's 13. He's in eighth grade. And Jaden is my queen, 16. And she is a junior in high school. She's a situation. And so is, but then it gets to my youngest, John Carter, is 9. And he could actually probably be on a reality show. He's funny. He's just a funny, funny kid. The things he says to me just blows me away. And anyways, I don't know where he got it from. But, hey, I need to get to, and also Mark Hollander, he knows my story too. And thank God for all of these people you have at your church and all of the great things that are going. Pastor Barry had asked me, he said, hey, do you have a topic you want to speak on? And I said, I want to talk about it's now or never. Now, you have to understand something about me. I really believe that we are on a journey. I think that this matters a ton. Like, this is huge. Like, on my church, I want to put up on there, reach out or just die. Because that's the whole purpose of what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to lead other people to Christ. It's not something that is an option when we come to know the Lord. So we say love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. We make it pretty easy. And then we say love people. How many of you know the people part can be really hard sometimes? It just can. I could do that good till I had kids or till I ran into the neighbors that I have right now. And they're not on, they won't hear this message, so don't worry about them. They called about my dogs one day and said, I wish your dogs would quit barking. She messaged me on Facebook. I said, we don't like you guys either. We're moving. And then I said, I'm just kidding. But, you know, you try to be as Christ-like as you can. Loving God's easy. Loving people ain't so easy, but we have to be able to do that. That's so much what God has called us to do. And I really feel like the message of what I am saying is that this is the journey. Some of us are in the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. We don't know where we're at in this. But at the end of the day, we have to do everything that we do in order to lead people to the cross. If Jesus isn't Lord of all, He's not Lord at all in our lives. And so we have to remember that when we do these things, because heaven is a benefit, I believe, of our salvation. It's so awesome to be able to think about what heaven is like, and it's so important to remember that. But at the end of the day, it is something that that God has given us, and it's something that's a prize, but it's so important that we run the race. Hey, I'm going to pray. Father, I just ask that, Lord, I hide behind your cross. It's not about me, Lord God. This is all about you. And Lord, I ask that you would just be with us today. Lord, speak through me. Open up ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive what you would have for us today here at St. Charles River Church. God, I thank you for the opportunity. I don't take it lightly that I get a chance to speak here in the pulpit. I thank God for Barry and all of his staff and this whole church, Lord God. I thank you for this time and this moment. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you for everything, not only things you're doing, but what you're going to do. Pray these things in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen and amen. There's a story in 1519, the Spanish explorer Hernando Cortes set sail for Mexico with 11 ships, 13 horses, 110 expert sailors, and 553 soldiers. The odds were stacked totally against him. As he got to the new land, two previous expeditions had failed to even establish a settlement. When Cortes got to this land, he issued an order that turned his mission into an all-or-nothing mission. He told his men to burn the ships. As his crew watched their fleet ships burn and sink, they came to terms with the fact that there was no retreat. There was no plan B. And I think 9 times out of 10 sometimes we fail because we think about plan B. That's why most people are living out plan B in their life. They haven't really burned their ship. Plan A people don't ever have a plan B. It's plan A or bust. They would rather crash and burn going after God-ordained dreams than succeed in something else. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. If we were going to be all in and say now or never, we cannot look at things from behind. We have to look at things that are forward. Plan A is important. But at the end of the day, when we look at things, we have to understand what God is wanting to do. We live in a culture that almost wants to set us up for failure. We really do. We talk to college students, and many of them will tell you about their dreams or what they want to do, and they never end up doing it. During the aggressive persecution of Christians in the first century, many new believers retreated from their faith once the heat was turned up. I mean, when you really think about it, we really don't go through a lot compared to what so many people did. I mean, we think about when people, and in the ministry, this is, you're just not going to make everybody happy. You have 500 people coming to your church, and then you have a constant revolving door of another 200, and then you're outside the community, and it's a community of about 15,000 or so. There's just people that aren't going to like you. And I'm kind of hard to miss when I walk around with my real life church gear and people see me. But one thing is for sure, I want to do everything I can for Jesus. Not only when I'm inside the church, but so much when I walk outside of the church. Listen, buildings are beautiful. We're going to try to build one. And I say we're going to try, we're going to. But it's going to be a building that is very inexpensive. The most inexpensive building we could do. Because I think God looks at that. The days of the chandeliers and the big beautiful this and that. That's all fine. I'm not against that. But I believe God wants us to be able to find a place that is reasonable, that we can afford, that we can worship, that we can be in. And so going all in, we must realize what God has called us to do. Because at the end of the day, we are the temple. It's funny how people think, well, I can act one way in church, but then I'll act another way when I walk out. I remember a guy cussing me out one time in church, and then the guy next to me goes, wow, you really handled that great. I said, what are you talking about? He says, well, I mean, I don't mind the cuss words, but doing it in church. And I was like, okay, so it's okay if we go outside and do it. We have to get that understanding that we are going to be able to live our life out wherever we go and show Jesus. Now, listen, I'm not perfect. I'm not here to throw stones at anybody, okay? But I want to tell you right now that there's so much, if we're going to go all in, that we must realize. Because, listen, going all in, this is my first thing I want to say. I know we don't have no PowerPoint or anything, and Barry said it was acting up, and I said, well, we don't need it then because I'll get so distracted I won't know what's going on. There'll be 500 squirrels going, rabbits chasing, all that other stuff. But if we're going to go all in, about giving everything you got is so important. We need to realize that everything we have on this next move that God has for us, that we have to do everything we can. I want to read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, and anytime it's in there, it says therefore, you got to know what it's there for. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endures the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, considered him who endured such an opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Of course, we know the book of Hebrews is all about coming closer to Christ, because the old system never worked. The things in the old system, old covenant, it says the worshiper was never able to make clear the things that they were able to get forgiveness from. So as soon as they would walk out, in other words, they would come back and they would have to get forgiveness again. So Jesus said, once and for all, I'm the one that's going to be able to do that. But if we're going to go all in, we must realize that. There are moments in our life, this is the second thing I want to say, because I know I'm on a time schedule. There are moments in our life when we need to burn the ships of our past. Listen to me. We need to burn the ships back of our past failures. See, the enemy wants to work in our lives. The devil's a liar. I don't care. We don't want to give him too much credit, but we have to understand it. Charismaniacs give him too much credit. The other ones don't give him enough credit. But please understand this. He wants to play mind games with you. He wants to tell you you're no good. He wants to deal with your faith. He wants to do these things. But burning the ships back of past success that were part of plan B, burning the ships back of bad habits, burning the ships back of regrets, burning the ships back to an unhealthy or ungodly relationship, burning the ships back to crippling guilt, burning the ships back to an addiction, burning the ships back of the old way of life. Listen, I used to be a bad, bad person, but God came and saved me. Now listen, I'm still not good, but He does all He can to work through my life daily that I can live a life for Jesus, because it's all about Him. It's in Him, by Him, through Him, for Him. I am living proof that Jesus Christ will save you and turn your life around if you'll just take that step to understand that. Sometimes it's the longest and the hardest step. Sometimes it's the one that's so hard to do. But God is in the middle of everything. And if we're going to go all in, we must realize that. You see, the third thing I want to say is this. The Christian faith demands a devotion to a long haul. Long-term commitments. Long obedience in the same direction. If I lived here in St. Charles, there is no doubt about it where I would attend church. I would attend church right here. I would come here. I would be faithful. I would do whatever Pastor Barry asked me to do. But I would attend church right here. I just would. Why? Because I know your pastor's heart. And I know what him and Gina are about. They are the most loving people. They are so good. You all are so blessed. And I don't say that because, hey, listen, he's not signing my check. I say that because I know them from relationships for 20 plus years. That he would take the time for a guy like me. Now, he said all the nice things about me. But the fact of the matter is that, listen, I wasn't for everybody. And everybody wasn't for me. And I'm okay with that. To this day, I'm not for everybody. I'm just not. I don't want to offend nobody. I mean, like, if you come up to me after service and say, well, you really offended me when you said that, I'll say, hey, listen, I'm sorry. Pray for me. I need help. I'm not trying to offend nobody. That's not my heart. I mean, I really do love people. But at the end of the day, there are just sometimes you make decisions in leadership. And because you can't tell the full story, you take the brunt of it. And it's hard. Ministry is hard. We're killing our own. I mean, we had another one that had everything. Greg Lowry's assistant, associate pastor, wrote books, did this, did that, and put a bullet in his head. That's scary. That's scary. And we need to remember that, and we need to understand that. It's tough. I listened to stories last night, and I could have listened to Pastor Barry forever. And you can't get a word in edgewise when I'm around because I like to talk. Sorry. And I just listened. And I would say, well, what happened here? He'd go into that story. You know, he's got this radio voice, right? You know what I'm talking about? And he tells the greatest stories. but they were stories that were actually true. And I was like, people are mean. I got it pretty good. You've been through a lot in 20 years. Wow. You mean to tell me that's the way that guy, cause, you know, it's just, anyways. In Hebrews, Christian faith demands a devotion for the long haul. Long-term commitments, long obedience in the same direction. Hebrews 11:7, by faith, Noah. Can you imagine Noah going through 100 years, 120 years? I don't care what it was. If it was 10 years, if it was 6 months. You know, the Bible says it was 100 years, one place, maybe 120, whatever. Let's just call it 100 years. People walking by and he's building this boat. Hey, when's that flood coming? For that long. We wait 2 weeks and we wonder what's going on. And by his faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that is keeping the faith. The faith of Jesus Christ in your life is so important. It's not about trying so hard. It's trusting in God to do the work in your life. It's God literally will come to a place to where he wants to work and do the things in your heart and in your life. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It doesn't seek 15 minutes of fame. It seeks eternal glory. It doesn't care about public opinion. It lives for an applause. It's not about the satisfied with the world has to offer. It's only an objective. It's only objective. It's but utmost for its highest. If we are going to go all in, and if we are going to say we're going to put everything in, we have to understand this. When God gives you a green light, he will take you to an inaccessible places and the impossible things. He'll do it in your life. In Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 8, in the year of King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. And as the six wings and all the other things, he said, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. And he went on to say, woe to me. And he said, here I am, Lord, send me. And I feel like that so much. God, wherever you want for my life, whatever you want me to do, send me, Lord, because I just want to be a part of the process of what you have for me. If there's a door that you can open where I can help out, I want to be able to know that in the church. I want to be able to know that God is in control and I can do anything through him. The faith moments that I have, people ask me all the time, are you all a Pentecostal church? Please explain that to me. Because in Pentecost, they were all in one accord, they were in unity, and souls were saved. If those three things aren't happening, you ain't Pentecost, honey. Holiness can be ugliness. People dress up in these buns and no makeup and they come into a restaurant and they don't tip and they eat off the kids' menu. That stinks. We shouldn't be like that. We gotta understand that. Are you with me today? Makeup is a good thing. Please understand that. I'm fine with makeup. I mean, I've seen my wife without. She's fine too, but hey, listen. Some ladies need it. It's okay. By the way, let me just take this. I only got like 8 minutes. It's going down. Your pastor and his hair. Listen, this dude, okay, first of all, I went and got a haircut yesterday. Y'all are laughing, right? When I find a black barber that's good, I want to go to him because they can blade me, you know what I'm talking about, in my head, and it saves me from having to use the Mach 3 and getting aggravated. And my little beard that's not much of a beard, but it covers my chins up, so I'm okay with that, right? If I take it off, I look like, well, anyways. So Barry, I was trying to kill time and I waited for him to get home. So I drove by and he says, you know, I'm a barber. I said, yeah, I know you're a barber, but I thought you quit doing that. Well, I mean, hey, I can cut your hair. I mean, I said, I don't have no hair. And you straight razor? Well, yeah, I'm a barber. And so we go on and this hairdo he has going this time, I could just imagine the hairspray and the combing and the everything else, right? I mean, getting ready for that. And when I first met him, you know, I was going through a receding hairline and it was a bad deal, man. Like I was like freaking out, man. Like no girl's going to like me. No one's going to want to hang out with me because I'm going bald. I'd be going like this. I'd be like, oh my God. I mean, I didn't have a chance because my dad was bald. My mom's dad was bald. They say something, nothing but balds at reunion. You know, my cousins are going bald and I'm sitting there saying to myself, hey, listen. I can't believe, so finally I just accepted it and embraced it and shaved my head, right? Because I'm not trying to hide it, and ball caps are good. I looked into a toupee, but I said, that ain't going to work for me. And so anyways, I said to Barry one day, I said, do you wear a toupee? your hair is perfect. And he starts to take it off for me. And he was acting like it. And I was like, don't take it off in this restaurant. We were eating. It was better than it even is now. Every hair was in place. But Barry and his hair is hilarious. I mean, it's just a funny deal. And so, hey, it's okay to laugh in church, man. It's just, it is what it is. A dude with hairspray. And I said, what's with the bi-level, man? And he says, it's everything's a bi-level. And he goes on into the hair and the head and all this other stuff. You got to love your pastor and his hair. And anyways, here I am, Lord, send me. If we're going to go all in, if we're going to say, hey, now's the time, let's do this, we must realize that God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. That's the story of my life right there. Listen, I'm the last one that should be up here preaching. I'm the last one that should be telling you what God is saying. But God takes those who are willing and able to be worked through, because he don't take the proud. He can't use them. Yet he shows the humble and says, listen, Charlie, I'm going to work through you because you realize you are nothing without me. It's all about Jesus. My life better breathe Jesus. I can't even get through my last scripture because it's way too long. And I got 6 minutes left. I'm just going to start to close. What ships do I need to burn? And burn right away. Where am I about to quit? And how can I hang in there with God's help? In what life situation do I need to declare, here I am, send me? You see, in God's kingdom, calling trumps credentials every time. Let me say that again. In God's kingdom, calling trumps credentials every time. You see, it's now or it's never. I want to tell a quick story. It's a true story. There was a man who had one son. His son went off to war. And when his son went off to war, he met a friend. And he drew a picture of himself. And as he drew the picture of himself, he died in this war. And so his friend found his dad and gave him that picture. And the dad said, thank you so much. His dad was a millionaire. And as they were auctioning off everything, as his dad died and there was no heirs, they started the auction off with this picture. And it was a picture of the boy. And they started off and they said, hey, would you give me five? Would you give me five? Would you give me, I got 10 over there. 10, would you give me 15? Would you give me 20? No. It started off, no one wanted to bid on it. There was a man that showed up. And he bid on the picture of the son. And after that, the auctioneer closed the auction. And everybody was like, wait, there's all this furniture, there's all this stuff, there's all this money, that things that... He said he had it written in his will that whoever gets the son gets everything. That is what it's like when our life, and we ask Jesus into our hearts. When we get the son, we get everything. We are so rich. We are so blessed. That if God never did another thing, we have it all. A Texas oil man named Mr. Yates, back in the Depression, and he was literally going out of business. He was losing everything. He was bankrupting, and he had all this property. And they came to him, and they said to him, hey, can we drill on your land, an oil company? He said, sure. With nothing to lose, he signed the contract, and they started drilling on his land. And they didn't get very deep, and they noticed that that land was full of oil. Overnight, he became a billionaire. Sometimes, that's us as Christians. We have Jesus. We have it all. but we don't understand what we possess. See, Yates was always a billionaire. He just never knew it. He always had the land. He just never knew what was underneath. He never knew how rich he was in the things of God. And so for me, my greatest challenge is to love my family, God first. Show my family the way. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get around my three kids, they're wild. My daughter's not so much, but really just the youngest, but he's wild. He's just like his aunt, Cindy. But when we get around, when you take them some other place, I always say take your kids to somebody else and drop them off, and then you'll find out how good of kids they are. And when we drop them off, they always say, wow, best kids I've ever been around. Keep them a week. My point being is that I want my kids to know Jesus. They'll tell you, I love sports. I coach them all. I coach them in football, baseball. I do all that stuff. But they'll tell you, Dad cares about one thing. Daddy wants me to serve Jesus. I want them to make straight A's. That's down the road. Serve Jesus. Serving Jesus is the most important thing. Because see, although my mom is leaving me an inheritance of the things of God, listen to me. My dad's dad were nothing but alcoholics. And I was right there going that wrong way. Now, I'm not telling you that, yeah, you want to have a beer, that's whatever. I'm not going to get into that. But for me, the bottom line for my life is I don't drink. I'm not telling you you're going to hell. That ain't for me to judge. I'm saying for my life, I can't. Some people, I don't know why they can't handle it. I can't drink. I got a problem, a big problem. Jay knows about it. It was huge. You know, when you get caught with 12 minor possessions, you may have a problem. But at age 20, I heard a message about God's love, and I said, man, this is what it's all about. And so wherever you're at today in your walk, wherever you're at, understand God loves you, and He desires for you to see the great things that He has for each and every one of us. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You. We thank You for Your forgiveness. We don't deserve it. God, I thank You for even bringing me here. I'm the most unqualified person in this building. But by Your grace, God, You love me enough. You put people in my life here. Pastor Barry and Gina being anchors. Lord, the people that I met, Sherry Songer, it's not by accident. It's not a cakewalk, but if we'll continue to walk through the journey, there's changes that will be made, and we go through transitions, and sometimes God will take things away from us just to see how we'll act before He'll bless us with even bigger things. Y'all got a new chapter in your life as you're getting ready to move. That's a good thing. The burden of debt is off of your pastor. Now, I believe that it's going to walk into a season of ministry that's going to be so incredible. The things that you're going to see happen now. And it's not a permanent stop. It's just a place in his season and time. And how you react there is so important, because life is such a test. If He can trust us with small things, He continues to bless us with more things. Sometimes we wonder why people aren't coming into our churches. Well, maybe we're not ready. Maybe our hearts aren't set straight. Because we got to love people. No one cares how much you know till they know how much you care. God, I pray for every individual that's here today. If they don't know You, get them with the pastor. Because it's the greatest thing. I've tried both sides, and I know where my life is now. And listen, I'm far from perfect, God, but I appreciate everything You've done for me, all the blessings. I thank You that You're in control. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.